Welcome to Rambam on the Line. Today's shiur is Perek Shmona Asar of Hilchas Ishus, the 18th chapter of the Laws Concerning Marriage. Halacha Aleph. Almana nizones menichse yarshin kolz man almanasa acha titol ksubasa. A widow is entitled to be supported, to be fed, out of the property of the heirs throughout the time of her widowhood until she collects her ksuba. Umishatitba ksubasa bebezdin. Once she demands her ksuba in court, she no longer has any claim to be supported. The same thing would apply if she would sell her entire ksuba, or mishkana ksubasa, or has pledged her ksuba, or asasa ksubasa apoteke la'acher, or she has made her ksuba an apoteke for someone else. An apoteke is where you mortgage the ksuba to a creditor. Vahu, provided shetomar lo, she says to the creditor, po tigbe chovach, that this property will be that which you can collect for the debt. In other words, you are able to collect your claim out of this property. Bein she asasa dvarim elu bebezdin mumchin, bein she lo bebezdin, whether she does this in the presence of a professional court, whether she does this not in the presence of a court, whether she does this in the lifetime of her husband, or whether she does this after her husband's death. She is no longer eligible to collect mizonos, her food, from the heirs. Aval im machra miktsasa yeshla mizonos. However, if she only sold part of her ksuba, she is still entitled to mizonos, to be fed, to be supported. U'mishetisareis ha'almana of the mizonos seha. Once the widow becomes betrothed, she loses her rights to mizonos, to be fed, because she is no longer considered to be a widow once she is now betrothed to another man. Halacha Beis, paragraph 2. K'shem shenizonos achar mosam nechasov, kach nostim lak sus uklei tashmishu madar, o yoshevez b'madar shahaisabo b'chaye b'ayla. Umishtameshes bakarim uksasos, ba'avadim uvashvachos, shenishtamsha behen b'chaye b'ayla. In the same manner that she is to be fed after the death of her husband from his estate, in the same way, we also provide her with clothing, utensils, and living quarters, or she may continue to reside in the living quarters occupied by her in her husband's lifetime. She is also entitled to use the blankets and cushions, the servants and maidservants that she used in the lifetime of her husband. However, the Rambam continues, Nafal Hamadar, Ein Hayarshim Chayavim Livnoso. If the dwelling place collapses, the heirs are not obligated to rebuild it. Instead, they would just have to rent another dwelling place for her according to her status. V'im Amra Hanichali V'ani Avnenu Mishali, Ein Shalmin Lo. And if she persists and she says, let me stay there and I will build it of my own money, we do not pay any attention to her. Because once the building collapses, she loses her rights to that particular building. She should likewise not repair it or plaster it, but she must either dwell in it as it is or leave it. If the heirs sell the widow's dwelling place, their sale is null and void. They have no right to do it. Halacha Gimel, paragraph 3. Nafal habayis ashalo hayu labayla bayis ela besachar nostim la. Madar lefi kvoda. If the house collapses, or her husband did not have any house of his own, he had to rent his own house, so then the heirs are obligated to give her a dwelling place according to her status, according to her dignity. That means, of course, that they would rent a house for her. Now, the Rambam says that's not only true about the house, that we have to give her a type of house that befits her status. The same would apply to the food that we give her and her garments, that it must be according to her status. And if the husband's status was greater than hers, then she should be given according to the husband's status. The reason for this is mipnei sheola imo ve'eina yeredes afilu la'achar misa, because the wife may ascend in status with her husband, but she does not descend even after his death. Halacha dala, paragraph 4. Birkas habayis meruba ketzad. The principle of the blessing of the house is greater. How is that to be understood? Chamisha shahaya mizonos kol echem mehem kav b'shayochel levado. Im hayu chamishtam bebayis echad ve'ochlin be'eruv maspik lehem arbas kavin v'hu adin l'shar tzarchi habayis. If five people, when eating separately, require only one kav, that's a special measurement per person, for their food. Now, if they're eating together, they need only four kav, because all five of them live in the same house and eat together. And the same rule applies to other household needs. Lefichach, almana sha'amra, einen nizazim mibeis avi, piskuli mezonos, utnuli sham, yicholen hayoshen lomula, im atetzleinu yeshlach mezonos, v'im lav ein ananoslim lach, elikafi birkas habayis. Therefore, if the widow says, I will not move from my father's house, and therefore provide me with food, and provide it there. She wants to remain in her father's house and not in the house of her husband. The heirs have a right to say to her, if you will remain with us, we will provide you with food. And if not, we will not give you any more than the blessing of the house. That means we will only give you the share that you would get if you would have been living together with us, which would be much less than what she would receive separately. V'im ha'isa ta'enes, mipnei shehi yalda, v'hem yuladim, nosla mezonos ha'maspikim lo levada, v'hi bebeis aviha. If she claims that the reason why she refuses to stay with in her husband's house, and she wants to stay in her father's house, is because of the fact that she is a young woman, and they are young boys, and that is an impediment to them being together, they may provide her with food sufficient for herself alone, even though she remains in her father's house. Any leftover, the surplus of the widow's food, likewise her clothing, belongs to the heirs. However, the Ravid, the Rambam's critic, disagrees with this point. Halacha Hey, paragraph 5. Almana shecholsa im tzricha l'refuah she'en la kitzba harezo kemezonos v'yarshin chayavim ba. A widow who becomes ill, if she has to be cured, and the cure is such that she requires unlimited treatment, it's indefinite what type of treatment she may use and how for how long, it is the equivalent of the food that the heirs are obligated to provide, and they are obligated to provide for this cure as well. Because obviously food also has no limit. If, however, the cure for her illness is one that is limited, it is clearly defined, she is then to be cured from her ksuba. That means that we subtract the amount that is necessary to provide her with a cure from her ksuba. But the heirs don't have to pay for her cure separately. Nishbeis, if the woman is taken into captivity, ein hayarshin chayav liftosa, the heirs are not obligated to ransom her. Afilo haisi yavama, afilo nishbeis b'chaye baila umeis, v'hi bashivya ein chayav liftosa menachasav, ela nifteis mishal atzma, o titl ksubasa v'sivda atzma. This is true even if she is a yavama. That means even if her husband died and he was childless, and she is now bound to her brother-in-law, the same law would be true that the heirs don't have to provide her with this service of ransoming her. And even if she was taken captive in the lifetime of her husband, and the husband died when she was in captivity, they are not obligated to redeem her from his estate. She has to redeem herself from her own property, from her own money, or she has another alternative, she can take the ksuba and she could redeem herself. Halacha Vav. Paragraph 6. Mesa ha'almana yarsha ha'bal chayavim b'kfurasa. If the widow dies, the heirs of the husband are obligated to provide for her burial. Ve'im nishba shvuas almana ve'ahakach mesa yarsheha yarshin ksubasa ve'heim chayavim b'kfurasa avolo yarsha ha'bal. However, if the widow had undertaken the oath that is given to a widow, that she has not withheld anything from her husband, and then she dies, then her heirs inherit her ksuba, and they, in turn, are obligated to provide for her burial, and not the heirs of the husband. Maisi dehal mana leyarshim. All the earnings of the widow belong to the heirs, obviously because they are providing for her needs. V'yorish amar l'almana tli masi yadayach b'mzonasayach ein shomin lo. If the heir says to the widow, you can keep your own earnings so that we don't have to support you, we don't have to feed you, we do not pay any attention to that type of request. Because the husband could not have done that either. However, if she consents to it, then of course we do pay attention to her because it is for her benefit that they are obligated to provide her with her food. And therefore, if she wants to keep her earnings and not be fed, she's entitled to that. Halacha Zayin, paragraph 7. V'chol melacha sha'isha osa labayla, almana osa la yisomim, chutz memezigas hakos, v'hatzas hamita, v'harchatzas panav yada v'raglav. The same services that a wife is obligated to perform for her husband, a widow is obligated to perform for the orphans. The exception to this are serving a cup, spreading the bed, and washing his face, hands, and feet, because these can lead to affection, and it would lead to some improper behavior. Halacha Ches, paragraph 8. Metzias ha'almana u'peiros nechasim shechnisa labal li'atzma ve'ein liyarish behem klum. Anything a widow may find, and the income from property brought by her to her husband, belongs to her, to the widow, and the heir has no claim whatsoever to them. Halacha Ches, paragraph 9. Vanachasim atzmam shehem nidunyasa notavos osam below shvua ve'ein liyarsha behem din liolam. Now the property itself, which is her dowry, she is entitled to take it without an oath, and the heirs have no claim to it ever. However, the Rambam says, El im kein hosiru b'chayi habal, v'hoyu nichsitzon barzal shahamosa labal. The only exception would be if it has increased in value during the husband's lifetime, and constitutes iron sheep property, the appreciation of which belongs to the husband, and subsequently it belongs to the heirs. V'im meisa halmana b'lo shvua, yarsheha yarshim midinyasa, afopishu nichsitzon barzal. If, however, she dies, the widow dies, before she has a chance to give an oath, then her heirs inherit her dowry, even though this constitutes the iron sheep property. V'im haya behem mosar, hamosar yarsheh habal. However, if there was a surplus, if there's an increase in appreciation, that appreciation belongs to the heirs of the husband. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. Omana shetavsa metaltalin, kidei shetisan mehen, bein shetavsa mechayim, bein shetavsa achar moso, afila tavsa kikar zahav, ein motzin miyada. A widow who had seized movable objects in order to support herself, to feed herself from them, and she's not entitled to collect her mizonos, her food, from movable objects, but if she seized it, whether she seized it in the lifetime of her husband, whether she seized it after her husband's death, even if she seized a whole talent of gold, we do not take it from her. What do we do? Elakos v'nolha bezdin mashatavso poskalam mizonos u'mechash v'nima v'hinizonos mimasha biyada achatamus o'ach lo yiyo la mizonos v'yikho hayarshin es hashar. Rather, the court should record whatever she has seized, fix the amount of her support, and keep an account for her. And from then on, she is to be supported from whatever she has in her hands, whatever she seized, until she dies, or until she will no longer have any food. That means until her right to have food provided to her is no longer in effect. For example, if she would already collect her ksuba or she becomes betrothed, as we learned before. And then the heirs take the surplus, whatever is left over. Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 11. V'cheinim tafsa metaltalim b'ksubasa b'chayi b'ayla u'meis gova mehem. Likewise, if she sees movable objects for her ksuba while her husband was still alive, and then he dies, she collects her ksuba from those movable objects. Avalim tafsa achar mosal ksubasa eina gova mehem. However, if she sees the movable objects for her ksuba after the death of her husband, she may not collect her ksuba from those movable objects. Because once the husband dies, the heirs inherit the husband, their father, and anything she seizes has no legal effect. Because, we already learned earlier, the movable objects that belong to the orphans are not to be mortgaged for a creditor. Even though we learned before that if she seizes food from movable objects, she could use that for her nourishment, for her sustenance, the ksuba is different. Now, in many editions of the Rambam, there's a continuation to this paragraph, which starts with the words afalgaf, but according to the manuscripts of the Rambam, especially the Yemenite manuscripts, this is the beginning of a new paragraph because it has no connection to the preceding one. So this begins the new paragraph. Afalgaf shetiknu hagaonim, shetik b'haksuba, usnoi haksuba min hametaltalin, even though the gaonim, those are the post-Talmudic rabbis, ordained that a widow may collect her ksuba, including the conditions attached to the ksuba, out of movables. Lefichach tizan halmana min hametaltalin afal pishlo tafsa. Therefore, the widow may receive her maintenance, the food maintenance, out of the movables, even if she does not seize them. Nevertheless, the Rambam continues, Im hniach baila metaltalim lo tapsa osam, hayarshim notalim osam, behe maila mezonos. If the husband had left movable objects and she did not seize them, the heirs take them and they provide her with her food. She cannot prevent them by saying, "You, hamataltal menachem bebezdin, achiizom mehen, let the movable objects remain in the court until I am supported by them. Shemayovdu v'lo yilu mezonos, lest they will be lost, and I will not have any more mezonos. I will not be able to be supported. We do not listen to her." Even if the wife, the widow, had explicitly stipulated with her husband that she is to receive her maintenance out of movables, she may not hinder the heirs from taking it. And the Rambam adds to this, "Okezed dan in tamed b'chol batei dinim," and according to this ruling, all courts would rule at all times. In other words, what the Rambam is saying here, quoting the Gaonim, that the wife is to be provided with sustenance from the movable objects of the husband, but she has no right to say that she wants them deposited in the court. All of this was part of Halacha Yud Beis. Halacha Yud Gimel, however, if the husband left land, she has a right to hinder them, to prevent them, they should not sell the land. And if they did sell the land, she could not take the land away from the purchasers, because a woman and the daughters are not supported except from free property, that is, property that has not been sold. Unlike the ksuba, which she could collect from the purchasers, she cannot collect the money for her food from the purchasers. Halacha Yudalit, paragraph 14. Haniach nashim rabos aval pishin nisan zu achar zu nizonas bishavet. Kamosha ein din kadima b'metaltalin. If a man has left several wives, they receive equal maintenance, equal support, even if he had married them consecutively, since priority does not apply to movables. Halachat Hezvav, paragraph 15. Almana shenafel lifnei yavam b'shlosh chadashim harishonim nizonas b'shal bal v'im hukar ha'ubar v'chedim hinicham uberes nizonas v'halechas achetelet. If a widow is subject to levirate marriage, that is, her husband died and they were childless, and now she has to marry or get chalitza from her brother-in-law, the rule is as follows. For the first 3 months, her support lies upon the estate of her husband, because it is due to her husband that she cannot marry anyone else. If her pregnancy becomes recognizable, and likewise, if she was left pregnant, her support continues until she is delivered, until she has the child, because until that point, she cannot get yibum, she cannot marry her brother-in-law, nor is she entitled to chalitza, and she certainly cannot marry anyone else. And since she cannot do anything because of the fact that she was married to her husband beforehand, then she's entitled to collect her food from her husband's estate. Yolda ben shel kayama, if she gives birth to a viable child, nizonas v'holechas kol yimei almanasa kishar kol hanashim. She then is to be supported continuously all the days of her widowhood, just like any other woman. Because now the reason is obvious. Since the husband fathered a child, then she is not subject to the laws of levirate marriage. She's like any other widow. Lo nimtzeis muberes achas shel chadashim osha hepila einu nizunas lo mishal bal v'lo mishal yavam ela tavas yavam alichnos alachlots. If after 3 months she is not determined to be pregnant, or she had a miscarriage, she is not to be fed or supported, not neither from her husband's estate nor from the brother-in-law's property, but she demands that her brother-in-law either marries her or gives her chalitza and releases her so she can marry someone else. The reason she does not get any support from the husband's estate, because the husband is not preventing her from marrying anyone. And the reason why she doesn't get anything from the brother-in-law's estate, because she has not yet married him. And therefore, she can either ask him to marry her or give her chalitza so she can marry someone else. Halachat HaZayin, 16. Tova yivam alichnos olachlods v'amid bebezdin. Ubarach o shachola o shahoya hayavam b'mdinas hayam harezun azonis mishal yavam below shvua klal. Now, if the widow asks her brother-in-law to marry her or to give her chalitza and release her, now he appears in court, but then runs away or falls ill, or he was overseas. She is then entitled to be supported, to be fed from her brother-in-law's property, and she is not required to give any oath. because the likelihood that the brother-in-law might have already given her some money for this purpose is very, very small, and therefore there's no need to worry about the fact that she already has the food. Halacha Yudzayin, 17. Nafal if neyavim katan ein la mezonos ad sheyigdel v'yiyeh kishar hayavamin. If she then falls before a minor yavam, her brother-in-law is now a minor, and he is not fit to marry her or to give her chalitz until he is 13 years old, she is not entitled to be fed until he becomes an adult, 13 years old, and he will be like any other brother-in-law, and the same laws would apply to him. Halacha Yudches, paragraph 18. Misha yichid karka li'ishto b'mezonos seho b'shas misa v'yomar yiyem makom ploni l'mezonos hare ribu l'mezonos. If a man, at the time of his death, assigns a plot of land for his wife's support by saying, this particular plot is to be used for her support, to feed her. By doing that, the Rambam says, he has evidently extended the range of her support. Therefore, if the income from this plot is less than the support that is proper for her, she may collect the deficiency from the other property. However, if the income from that property is more than what she is entitled to, she takes everything. The husband's intention was to give her even more than what she's entitled to normally. However, if the husband says before he died, this particular plot of land shall be in lieu of her support, and she remains silent, she is entitled only to the income from this plot, because we see that he has set a limit to the amount of her support. Halacha Yutes, paragraph 19. Almana shaba lebezn litbo mezonos, when a widow comes to court to collect her food, yesh mi shahora, there is one opinion that rules, shaposkin la mezonos ve'emash bi'anosa, we immediately grant her her support, and we do not administer an oath to her that she did not withhold anything from her husband. However, the Rambam disagrees, and he says, "Ve'ein roi lismach al hara zu, epnei she'es chalaf lo hadavar be'isha shahalach baila l'mdinas hayam." One should not rely on this ruling, because its authors confuse this case with the case of the wife whose husband had gone to a country overseas, in which case she does not have to give an oath when she is getting food from her husband's estate. Rabosai Horu, my teachers have ruled, She'en la mezonos min bezdin ad she'tishava, She'arizu bo lehipara minichse yisomim, V'chol hanifra minichse yisomim lo tepara elo b'shvua. My teachers ruled, however, that she is not entitled to food maintenance from the court until she gives the oath, because she is coming to collect from the estate of orphans, and the rule is that whoever comes to collect from the estate of orphans should not collect unless she gives the oath. The Rambam concludes that I am inclined to agree with this, and so it is proper to rule. Halacha Chaf, paragraph 20. Almana shaba lebezn litbo mezonos mashbi'in osa b'tchila u'mochrin b'lo hachraza v'nos la mezonos. If a widow comes to court to claim her support, she must first be made to swear an oath, and then property from the estate may be sold without public announcement, and the proceeds are given to her for her support. She is also allowed to sell the property for her food, even though it's not in the presence of a professional court, but she just uses three trustworthy people without the prior announcement. The same would apply if she sold the property privately, but at its fair value, in order to provide for her support, for her food. The sale is valid, and when the heirs come to give her the oath, she must give the oath that she did not withhold anything. Halacha Chafalof, 21. How much property may be sold to provide for the widow's support? And the Rambam answers, enough to maintain her for 6 months, but not more than that.
And
V'chein mocheres v'holeches, at she'yishar minan achasim kedei ksubasa, gova ksubasa min hashar v'holeches la. The sale is to be made on the understanding that the purchaser shall provide her with 30 days maintenance at a time. Now after the 6 months are over, the first 6 months, she may sell some more property for another 6 months. And that she could continue to do so in this manner until the remainder of the estate, whatever is left over, is equal to the amount of her ksuba. At that point, she collects her ksuba out of what is left over, and then she goes her way. She can no longer collect any more because there's nothing left. Halacha Chav Beis, paragraph 22. Almana shepaskalo bezdin mizonos, ein mechashvin ima al maisiya deha achiyavo hayarshim yitpa'uha. If a court grants support to a widow, we do not make an account of her earnings until the heirs come and they claim it. If they discover that she had earnings, they take it because they're entitled to her earnings because of the fact that they support her. If they find nothing, they go on their way. The Rambam says, however, that I say that if the heirs are minors, the court must take account of her earnings and fix the amount of them in the same manner as it fixes her maintenance. They do have to take that into consideration because they are minors and the courts are responsible for their property and for their earnings, and they have to represent them in this case. Halacha Chav Gimel, paragraph 23. Almana she'ein shtar ksuba yotze mitachas yada ein la mezonos. Shema machla ksubasa o machra o mishkana osa. A widow who does not have the written document of the ksuba to provide, to produce, she is not entitled to be fed because we're afraid that she might have waived her ksuba, or she might have sold it, or she might have pledged it. And once she does any of those things, she's not entitled to be provided with maintenance from her husband's estate. And afal pishlo ton yoreish ton in anulo v'omrim lo haviyik subasayich v'hishavi utli mizanasayich. Even though the heirs did not make any such claim, we, the court, makes the claim for the heir, and we say to her, either bring your ksuba, give the oath, and then you may take your food. Ela im ein darkam lichta ksuba. Unless all of this would not apply if it is not the custom in that region to write the ksuba. As we learned earlier, that there are two customs in certain places. They do not write a ksuba, they just rely on the fact that that is the stipulation at the time of marriage, the stipulation of the courts, that a husband must give his wife the ksuba. Halacha Chavdal, paragraph 24. Isha shaholcha hi ubailu lamdinas hayam, uba vi amra meiz baili. Ratzisa nizonas kedin kol ha'almanos, ratzisa natalos ksuba. If a woman goes overseas with her husband, and then she returns and she says, my husband had died, if she desires, she can be supported and fed just like any other widow. And if she wants, she can take her ksuba. We do believe the woman when she says her husband died, even in terms of getting married. Because if he would be alive, we're going to discover that sooner or later, therefore we can believe her. And since she's believed to be able to remarry on the basis of her own testimony, we believe her that she's entitled to take her ksuba. Amra gershani baili einin emenis. V'nizanus menachasav ad kdei ksubasam mikol panim. If she says, my husband had divorced me, we do not believe her. Because in this case, it's possible to lie. And she's only supported from his estate until she gets the amount of the ksuba. Because at any rate, she's entitled to this food. She'ima dain hi ishto yesh lamazonas. Because if she's still married to this man, she's still his wife, then she's entitled to be fed, to be provided with nourishment from his property. V'im gersha kamo she'amra yesh laksuba, shahar ksubasa biyada. And likewise, if the husband had divorced her, as she says, she's entitled to the ksuba because she has the ksuba in her hand. L'fichach notelus mazonas ad kadei ksubasa b'holechas la. Therefore, she may take her maintenance up to the amount of her ksuba, and then she goes on her way. Halacha Chafhei 25. Isha shahayla safik gershin umeiz baila einin nizunas menachasav. She'ein motzim miyad hayarish misafik. If a woman was given a divorce, but there's a doubt whether the divorce is valid. For example, if the husband throws her the bill of divorce, and it is doubtful whether it was closer to him or to her, in which case the divorce is doubtfully valid. And then her husband dies, She is not to be supported to be fed from his estate, because you're not allowed to extract money from an heir out of doubt. However, if the husband is still alive, she is entitled to mizonos, to food, until a complete and proper divorce is given. Even though she might actually have already been divorced, but because she cannot marry anyone else, and that is because of her husband, she's entitled to be supported by the husband. Halacha Chavav, 26. Almana aniya sheshas eshtei shana belotava mizonos. O Ashira Shashasa Shalashana Blotava Vitra. Ve'enla Mizonas Bashanam Sha'avru, Ela Mishashatava, a widow who's poor, who waited 2 years before she made a claim for food, or if she's a rich widow and she waited 3 years before she made a claim, that is an indication that she had waived her right, and she is not entitled for any of the food retroactively, but she is entitled from the time that she makes the claim. However, if she waited less than the 2 years for the poor widow and 3 years for the rich widow, even if it's 1 day less, she has not waived her rights, and she can claim her food, and she collects the food of the past years, retroactively. Halacha Chav Zayin. Almana shetava mizonos ben hayarshim, heim omrim nasanu, v'hi omeres lo nitalti, kol zman shelo nises ala yisomim lahavi raya, or tishava shvuas heses v'titol. A widow who claims food from the heirs, and they say, we gave you already, and she says, I didn't take it yet. As long as she had not yet married the orphans, the heirs are obligated to bring proof that they already gave her the food, or she gives it an informal oath, and she then collects the food. That is, if they did not bring proof, she gives this informal oath, and she's entitled to her sustenance, to her maintenance. Mishin Niseis, once she gets married, Aleha Lahaviraya Ayushav Hayarshim Shuas Hese Shinasnala. Either she brings proof, and if she doesn't bring proof, the heirs then give an oath, an informal oath that they already gave her, and they are exempt from giving her the food. Because once she is married, the property then enters the jurisdiction of the heirs, and now she's trying to take it away from them. Therefore, the burden of proof lies on her, and all they have to do, if she doesn't bring proof, is to give this informal oath. Halacha Chavches, paragraph 28, and the final halacha. Din Tosfos Ksuba Kedin Ha'ikar. The law of the supplementary part of the Ksuba is just like the basic part. If you remember earlier, we learned that the basic Ksuba is 200 zuz, or 100 for a widow, and then you could supplement it with any amount. Well, the law concerning the supplement is just like the law concerning the basic amount. Lefichach, almana shetava o machra o machla o mishkana tosos ksubasa im ha'iker ein la mizonos. Therefore, if a widow who makes the claim, she demands the supplementary amount of her ksuba, or she sells the supplementary amount, or she waives it, or she pledges it, together with the basic amount, she is not entitled to any food. However, v'im tava miktsas v'hinicha miktsas, if she demanded part of it, and she left the other part, that means, as commentaries point out, she claims the basic amount of the ksuba, but she does not claim the supplementary amount. Harezu k'misha tava miktsas ha'ikir v'hinicha miktsasa. That would be the same thing as one who claims part of the basic amount and does not claim another part of it, in which case she would be entitled to mizonos, to food. A woman who sells or waives her rights without specification, she does not say whether it refers to the basic or the supplementary amount, we assume that she is selling or waiving the supplementary amount together with the basic amount. Because everywhere, both are implied in the term ksuba. When we use the term ksuba, we mean both the basic amount as well as a supplementary amount. Therefore, if she doesn't specify what she means, she just sells the ksuba or waives it, it means everything, and therefore she's not no longer entitled to mizonos. With this, the Rambam concludes Perek Shmona Asar Mehilchos Ishus, the chapter 18 of the laws concerning marriage.